Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jody Ambrosio, along with somebody back from vacation.
Yeah.
We're here until 9 when Pastor Will will be on the air. Todd at 3, no socks tonight. Mayor Dan Drew is in his fourth and final term of mayor. Did not want to run for a fourth term, I should say, of mayor of the city of Middletown, and joins us now. Mayor, good morning.
Hey,
how
mayor.
Are you?
Good morning. Great to be with all of you and your listeners.
Thanks, all millions of them. Be glad to have you with us. Was it a tough decision to decide not to run, Dan?
No, it wasn't, actually. You know, I kind of always knew this was going to be my last term as mayor, and I'm really proud of everything we've accomplished. And, you know, I tell people if 8 years is good enough for George Washington, then it's certainly good enough for me.
Right, because you served two two-year terms and then a four-year term, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
First ever four-year term.
Right. When you ran for mayor, you ran once, you lost, then you came back and won, and you've been the mayor ever since. What is it about the job that, A, holds an appeal for you, and, B, for a husband with four kids, makes it difficult?
Well, that's a great question, because those are sort of the two extremes of the dichotomy of the nature of the job.
Right.
And, you know, in terms of familial responsibilities, if you're going to be a good mayor, you have to be available at all times. And I don't mean just physically available, although
right.
certainly the case. You need to be mentally available all the time. It means that when a call comes in at 2 o'clock in the morning, your attention needs to be there. When you're sitting at your desk in the middle of the day and some wild emergency pops up, you need to be able to turn it on immediately. And that's everything from big emergencies on down to the smallest of concerns, because
right.
you know, the public very often comes to you even for the littlest things, and that's part of the nature and the enjoyment of the job, is being able to do those things for people. So it does make it hard when you have a family, because your mind has to be, you have to have your mind, and you want to have your mind there for your family, but it has to be there for your constituents as well. What appeals to me about it is the ability to actually do something and see the effect of it in people's lives. And I've had that experience, I can tell you, pretty much every day since I've been in this office for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Big or small, there's always something that I get to do or something that I get to decide about that improves people's lives. And a lot of times it's not the kind of thing that makes headlines or gets on TV or
right.
that, you know, you get to brag about, but you know in your heart the difference it made, maybe even just to one person. And that's tremendously rewarding.
You know, and let me just ask you a question. With four kids, all right, how old are they?
My oldest is 14.
Okay.
Then I have a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 3-year-old who will be four.
Okay. So, I mean, like, you know, you're not there yet, but sooner or later, one of your kids is going to do something not wise. And, you know, that's got to be a lot of pressure on them, too, to stay straight.
Yeah, you know, I really hadn't thought of it that much because they're so young, but I think you're right. You know, as a certain amount of time goes by, that kind of thing happens. I remember, you know, sometime around 1999 or 2000, Al Gore's son was arrested for having a small amount of marijuana, which is something I bet 99% of American kids do at some point.
Yeah.
And it was on CNN. And, you know, it's interesting because now that my kids are getting older, when they were young, I think they really loved a lot of the novelty that came along with
now
being
there. Now
it's boring. Now
it's boring, probably. Ho-hum.
Not only is it boring, but they're tired of being the mayor's kids.
Okay.
Like, I hear that from them all the
okay.
time. And they, you know, we go out in public and they feel like there's eyeballs on them. And I think they just
well, they probably are.
Yeah, they probably are. They just want to be anonymous again.
Talking to Mayor Dan Drew of Middletown here on Mayor Monday on the morning show with Ray and Joe. You, in your term, were not afraid to tell people what you thought they needed to be told, and you know you've had your share, like any mayor, of a little dust ups in the administration. Do you think that's kind of a thing that kind of wears on you too, having to be like that?
Not well. Yes and no. You guys are asking amazing questions, by the way. I almost never get asked questions.
You know what? I prepped for this all last night because I didn't have to watch the Giants yesterday.
So
life is
thank
good.
God for Channel 3.
Fans of that burden lately.
Yeah.
you know, it's funny. Here's my basic feeling about this, and I've given this a lot of thought over the years, which is why I'm really glad that you're asking about it. To do something like this requires so much sacrifice of time, of energy, and not just of you, but of your relatives, like we were just talking about on the last question. And, you know, my basic philosophy is if you're not going to do it, like to really do it, then what's the point? You can be in an office like this, in my opinion, essentially for two reasons. One is to make changes that are going to benefit the community. And the other is to gratify yourself. And if it's the latter, then there's no point. Like, I don't see the purpose, at least for myself, of holding this office for validation. I get plenty of validation from my wife and my kids and my close friends and, you know, the experiences I've had in my life. I ran for this office because there were things that I wanted to do, and I've accomplished those things. And in the process, you get to the point where there are people whose feathers are ruffled and where you do have to tell people what they may not want to hear, because the bottom line is that you have a responsibility to the public and to people who lack a sense of morality and any level of introspection. Accountability feels pretty rough sometimes. And in Connecticut, based on the structure of how municipal government works, accountability is a very, very difficult concept and is something that's sorely lacking in a lot of places.
Let me ask a question here. I went to Trinity myself, but as you know, Wesleyan's there. And I remember when I got back here in 92 or whenever it was, you know, Middletown, not much to talk about. I mean, it's certainly improved in that period of time. I mean, exponentially. But the fact is, how big a part does Wesleyan play in the town and the renaissance of the town?
Wesleyan's got a big role to play. It's a very important institution. Just from a raw financial standpoint, there's a lot of money that comes into and out of Middletown through Wesleyan. There are, you know, X number of members of the faculty and the staff, and there's, you know, thousands and thousands. It's probably 3,500 students. Don't hold me to that number. I'd have to double check it.
But,
so that's a lot of disposable income that's coming in and out of the community, and it's certainly very helpful. I don't think it's the determining factor for Middletown's success. I think there's a lot of variables in that equation. Wesleyan is certainly one of them, but I think there are others. And I think I can tell you safely and without hyperbole that Middletown's renaissance would have happened with or without Wesleyan, but I think Wesleyan's presence has added to it and sped it up and made it more of a rich experience for the community.
All right, we ask every mayor this one meal you can take Ray and me to in town.
Pick
where are we
one.
Going?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you know, so you can't.
Of all the mayors you could ask this question to, I'm the one that's going to get into the most trouble because we have all these incredible restaurants.
Well, that's why I asked it. Yeah, no, I know that.
We wanted to confuse you. Are we still asking you good questions, are we? Okay.
Absolutely. This one's probably the hardest one you've asked me so far, though.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple. I love Luce. I love Red Fox. I love Fiore's. I love Mondo. I love Iliano's. I love Jerry's.
Oh, I've heard good things about Fiore. Yeah.
They're all incredible, and you know, with Typhoon,
name one.
Avala India, there's a million here that are really great.
All right, well, when you get out of office, we'll hold you to it. Mayor, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
See you, Mayor.
Bye-bye.
Congratulations.
Right. DeAndrew, good guy.
Yeah, I like him.
You know what? I like it. He tells it like it is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.